This is a delicious flavor.
Bring it.
Oh my God.
If you don't know the story,
wow,
you really don't know the dish.
Flavor Network. Stream on Stack TV.
Is that registered?
Brought to you by Pandora, official launch partner of Flavor Network.
Every single day, the Alberta Children's Hospital is here for kids. You can be too. Every dollar you donate through the Country 105 Caring for Kids Radiothon provides life-saving, life-changing, world-class care to kids when they need it most. Make a difference and donate by calling 403-802-2700 or at kidsradiothon.com. That number again is 403-802-2700 or at kidsradiothon.com.
A C300 is the exception, not the norm. It's the bad boy dressed as a good guy. And our New Year's sales event is so good, you would be bad to miss it. Lone Star Mercedes-Benz is offering savings up to $15,250 on our demonstrator C300 sedans. Truly an exception. With a little down, you can lease for $629 a month. Truly exceptional. Shop today and enjoy getting a good one while you can, because at Lone Star, our exceptions are exceptional.
Hello, Calgary. I'm Bruno Bergman, music director of the Calgary Philharmonic Orchestra, and we have the cure for your winter blues. We'll be celebrating two big birthdays, Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart's and reggae superstar Bob Marley's, plus the music of 90s icons Nirvana. Family favorites, The Hockey Sweater and Harry Potter. A romantic Valentine's with Tchaikovsky in Love. A tribute to the sensational Tina Turner and so much more. This is your Phil. Your music. Get your tickets at calgaryphil.com.
7-3 The Edge.
The ongoing history of alternative rock with Alan Cross.
By 1965, three guys, two Americans and a Brit, had started their music careers. They weren't doing very well, so no one paid much attention. David Jones was a young saxophone player who loved Little Richard. The first time anyone really heard about him was when he appeared on a BBC News program in November of 1964 as the founder, president, and spokesman for the International League for the Preservation of Animal Filaments. This was an organization devoted to making it acceptable for young British men to wear their hair long. Earlier that year, June 1964, David had released his first ever single. He called his group the King Bees, and the song was called Lie to Jane. David Jones and the King Bees, Liza Jane, released June 1964. In 1966, David Jones would change his name to David Bowie to avoid being confused with Davy Jones, who was the cute little English dude on the TV show The Monkees. We'll come back to Bowie later. Meanwhile, in Detroit, a guy named Jimmy Osterberg was doing his best to keep from being sent to Vietnam. One story says he faked being gay and or insane at the Army recruiter's office. Whatever he did, it worked. Jimmy was sent away, and he was able to go back to being a drummer for hire. Now, Jimmy was pretty good. He played on the occasional Motown record, but he also gigged with his own band, the Iguanas. And here's what he was doing in 1964. Singing and playing the drums for the Iguanas. Because he played for the Iguanas, he got the nickname Iggy. And after he shaved off his eyebrows after drinking too much, someone remarked that he looked an awful lot like a local druggie called Jim Pop. And that's how James Osterberg became known as Iggy Pop. Our third guy from the early 1960s could be the most important because his work had a tremendous effect on both Iggy and David Bowie. This dude is key. Louis Allen Reed was born in Brooklyn. He started playing in bands in the late 1950s, in between the times his parents sent him for electroshock therapy to cure him of what they believed to be homosexual tendencies. Hey, it was the 50s. Lou's earliest band was The Shades, and they were into the doo-wop of the day. Then he moved west to Syracuse University, where he studied film, journalism, and creative writing while also working as a part-time DJ on a local radio station. By September 1964, he was back in Manhattan, where he got a job as a staff songwriter at a label called Pickwick Records. For $25 a week, he was paid to churn out songs for budget albums that would be sold for a buck in department stores and furniture stores. This kind of prefabricated crap was very common back then, and Pickwick made a lot of money doing this. In November 1964, Lou recorded a song called The Ostrich. This was supposed to grab a piece of the dance crazes of the day, you know, the twist and the mashed potato and all that. And it sounded like this.
Okay, I want everybody to settle down now. We got some new going to show you. So I knock you dead when we come upside your head. You get ready? You said, here we go. Yeah, all right, come on. Come on. Come on, let's go. Yeah. All right. Everybody get down on your face, man. Get ready, yeah. Okay, come on. Hey, put your hands up. Upside your knees now.
The Primitives, featuring Lou Reed on vocals. That dates from November 1964, just as David Bowie was defending his long hair on British TV, and just as Iggy Pop's band was opening shows for the Shangri-Las in Detroit. A few months later, Lou and his bandmate, the Welsh-born John Cale, would be part of what is considered to be the first ever alternative rock band, the Velvet Underground. Now, the Velvets started coming together in the spring of 1965. They started recording the rehearsals that summer, and by December, the lineup was complete. There was Lou and John, guitarist Sterling Morrison, and drummer Mo Tucker. Yeah, a woman drummer. That was radical, and she played like a radical. See, instead of sitting down behind a standard kit, she played standing up, with bass drums turned on their sides, and she whacked everything with mallets instead of sticks. Taking their name from a trashy book on S&M sex by Michael Lee, they played their first paying gig on December 11th, 1965. It was a high school in New Jersey, and they were paid $75. In the spring of 1966, they began a residency at a club called the Café Bizarre. This was in Greenwich Village. And one guy who heard about their raw and gritty approach was Andy Warhol. Yeah, the pop artist. He immediately took them into his circle, hiring them to play the freaky parties at The Factory, Warhol's New York headquarters. Warhol became the Velvets' mentor and chief patron, encouraging them to hire on a German model named Nico for visual interest. And he even produced the band's 1967 debut record. Okay, he was credited as being the producer, but he didn't really know much about making records. He was just there to inspire and encourage them. He didn't touch anything. Left to their own devices, the Velvet Underground turned out an album that was scandalous and shocking. It was noisy and angry and had themes of sex and drugs and life on the street and S&M and the awesomeness of just getting wasted. And while even the most daring hippie bands of the day were simply alluding to having sex and using drugs, Lou Reed was there actually describing it.
Thank you. Because a man out to my vein needs to a sinner.
Velvet Underground's debut record, which was called The Velvet Underground and Nico, that's Heroin. I cannot emphasize how shocking that song was for 1967. The album was just too raw and too real to gain any kind of mainstream attention. The album reached number 199 on the top 200 chart in Billboard magazine. Then it disappeared. But for those who were looking for something other than the sugary pop that was being played on AM radio, and who didn't like the acid wash of psychedelic rock, the Velvet Underground represented something new and important. No one really knew what it all meant, but there was something to what they were doing. Not sure what it was, but it was there. David Bowie got it. He was a fan of a song called Scoring Smack called Waiting for the Man as early as a few months after the record came out. Iggy Pop got it. He loved that first Velvet's record. He saw them play live in April of 1967. And by that summer, the Iguanas were gone, and Iggy was in a new band called the Psychedelic Stooges. And they played their first show at a private party that Halloween. It wasn't very good. So bad that their manager quit and went back to his job as a school teacher. The first proper public performance came in March of 1968. The opening act for this show was a food processor. Somebody set up a blender filled with a little bit of water and let it roar through the PA for about 15 minutes. When the Stooges finally came on, Iggy was wearing a nightshirt and golf shoes and white mime makeup and a big Afro wig made out of tinfoil. Drummer Scott Ashton kept time by banging on a couple of 50-gallon oil drums with hammers instead of drumsticks. Didn't go that well. But that didn't stop the Stooges. Stories of Iggy's extreme stage antics began to circulate. The stage diving, the self-mutilation, the glitter dust, the broken glass, the times Iggy smeared peanut butter or raw meat all over his bruised and bleeding body. This wasn't anything mainstream bands like the Beatles or the Stones were doing. And the hippie groups certainly weren't into this kind of thing either. This was crazy. The cops, who continually busted Iggy for indecent exposure, had never seen anything like it, and they didn't know what to do with him. Now, forgive the poor quality of this recording, but you have to hear what the Stooges sounded like live. Here they are, doing the title track of their 1973 album, Raw Power.
We'll be right back.
Okay, that's Iggy Pop and the Stooges performing in front of a very violent and angry biker gang in 1973. If you listen to the rest of that tape, you can actually hear the bottles smashing on the stage. Another Detroit area group that made waves in the mid and late 60s was the MC5. They were loud, they were profane, and they were highly political in a left-wing, super radical kind of way. Somehow, they were signed to a big record deal in 1968. This was at around the same time as they appeared at the ill-fated Democratic National Convention in Chicago as guests of the White Panther Party. They were able to release exactly one album under their new deal. Then they were dropped after they wrote a vulgar letter on company letterhead and delivered it to record stores that refused to stock their album. But of course, stunts like that only enhanced their street cred. From 1968, this is the MC5 from Kick Out the Jams. MC5, whose debut record was a live album. Imagine doing that today. By the end of the 1960s, there was a growing number of music fans who were bored with conventional rock and pop. They reveled in being different and liking different things. And the more disagreeable their tastes were to the mainstream and to hippie culture, the better. As extreme as Iggy and the Stooges were, as raw as the Velvets were, and as politically radical the MC5 might have been, nothing was quite as weird as what you're going to hear next. Hold on.
The ongoing history of alternative rock. No one knows more about this shit than Alan Cross.
107.3, The Edge.
I want to see you bring the heat. I want to see you bring the flavor.
Dish it out.
It's okay, chef.
No comment.
Dig it.
This is a delicious flavor.
Bring it.
Oh, my God. Hey!
If you don't know the story,
yeah,
you really don't know the dish.
Flavor Network. Stream on Stack TV.
Is that registered?
Brought to you by Think Turkey, official launch partner of Flavor Network.
Glenn's five ex-wives won't remember him fondly. Neither will the business partner that's suing him or all the siblings he owes money to. But you wouldn't guess that from the memorial he bought at First Call Monuments. Beautifully crafted with the words, Glenn, beloved by all, lovingly etched into granite for eternity. And with First Call Monuments' low pricing, he even saved money. When the inevitable day comes, Glenn will have the last word on how he's remembered. And you can too at firstcallmonuments.com.
There you are, alone in your car, waiting at a red light. Suddenly, there she is, pressed against your window, holding a homemade cardboard sign. Can you really tell what it says about her? Don't let homelessness assumptions get in the way of homelessness solutions. Go to CanadaCanDoIt.ca. Help the Canadian Alliance to End Homelessness.
The highest standards of broadcasting. It's what we strive for every minute of the day. To live up to your expectations is our goal, our obligation. And as members of the Canadian Broadcast Standards Council, our promise is to be accountable to you, our listeners. Have a comment to make about our programming? Visit cbsc.ca to find information on the council and its codes. A message from the Canadian Association of Broadcasters and QR Calgary.
I want to see you bring the heat.
I want to
see you bring the flavor.
Dish it out.
It's okay, chef.
No comment.
Dig in.
This is a delicious flavor.
Bring it.
Oh, my God.
If you don't know the story,
wow.
You really don't know the dish.
Flavor Network. Stream on Stack TV.
Is that registered?
Brought to you by Hellman's, official launch partner of Flavor Network.
1073 The Edge.
The ongoing history of alternative rock with Alan Cross.
As the 1960s came to a close, a growing number of free-thinking people began to realize that maybe the mainstream rock scene wasn't for them. They wanted something different, something challenging. And in the fall of 1969, their prayers were answered. That October, a California sculptor-turned-musician named Captain Beefheart released an album that was so strange that it immediately became an underground classic. Most who heard this album, which is called Trout Mask Replica, found it to be absolutely, completely, and undeniably unlistenable. But many people, like the future Johnny Rotten of the Sex Pistols, bought it and played it because it was unlistenable. This record cleared the room at any party, and even today it's tough to listen, but the 28 songs on this single album simply opened the eyes of a few to new possibilities. Now, naturally, I need to play something for you. There is nothing wrong with your equipment. There's nothing wrong with my equipment. This is supposed to sound like this. From Trout Mask Replica, this is Captain Beefheart and Frownland.
My smile is stuck. I cannot go back to your frownland. My spear is made up. And the sky, and the sun, and the moon, and all I can see. I cannot go back to your land of gloom, where black jagged shadows remind me of the coming of your doom. I want my too late for me to find my home. Where man can stand by another man without an ego flying. Hello, man lying. And no one dying by an earthly hand. Let the devil burn and a beggar learn and a little girl to live in low, low world. I cannot go back to your frowning. I cannot go back to your frowning.
You see what I mean? Captain Beefheart from Trout Mask Replica, his 1969 album that set an interesting standard in something. And again, it's important because a lot of people who would later go on to do cool things bought that album and absorbed it. Hey, you know who we haven't talked about for a while? David Bowie. What was he up to while Captain Beefheart, the MC5, and the Stooges and the Velvet Underground were making records? Well, he was trying to find himself. He was trying to come up with an image and a style and a sound that would work for him, and he wasn't doing very well. Take this attempt at something from 1967. Oh, David.
I was walking down the high street. Oh, to report you to the gnome office. Said the laughing gnome. Well, I gave him roasted toadstools and a glass of dandelion wine. Then I put him on a train to Eastbourne, carried his bag and gave him a fag.
Have you got a life, boy?
Yeah, where do you come from?
No man's land.
Oh, really? In the morning, when I woke up, he was sitting on the edge of my bed with his brother whose name was Fred. He brought him along to sing me a song. All right, let's hear it. Yeah, what's that clicking noise? To go to?
No, we're nomads.
Didn't they teach you to get your hair cut at school? You look like a rolling gnome.
Yeah, not at the London School of Economics.
Now they're staying up the chimney, and we're living on caviar and honey. Because we're earning me lots of money fighting comedy pros for radio shows. It's the gnome service, of course.
Released on April 14th, 1967. That's David Bowie with The Laughing Gnome. That was a desperate attempt to land a song on the charts, but it didn't work. Neither did dancing or working as a mime. Yeah, Bowie thought that there was a career in being a mime. A few months after The Laughing Gnome was released, Bowie found work writing music for a few BBC TV shows. At night, he appeared in a coffeehouse trio known as Feathers. And when he needed extra cash, he worked at a company called Legistat Document Copiers. His job was to copy legal papers for a variety of law firms. But the thing that saved Bowie from a life of photocopying and mime abuse was the American Space Program. And that's where we'll start Chapter 2. Back in a moment.
The ongoing history of alternative rock. We're all doing some learning.
107.3, The Edge.
How to fix broken furnace. What's a heat exchanger?
You might not know how to fix a furnace, but we do. We're Reliance Home Comfort, here to take your call 24/7. And if you need a new furnace, ask us about our next day or we pay installation guarantee. Plus, right now, save 20% during the Reliance Team Member Pricing Event, where you pay what we pay. So if you need help now,
call on Reliance.
Conditions apply. See website for details.
Daniel Blanchard is no ordinary thief.
His heists are ingenious. His escapes defy belief. And when he sees the dazzling diamond CC star, he'll risk everything to steal it. His exploits set off an intercontinental manhunt. But how long can CC star stay lucky for Daniel? I'm Saren Jones, and this is A Most Audacious Heist. Listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.
House of Cars has vehicles for everyone. Are you looking for a Lamborghini? House of Cars can help you out. Need a pickup for work? House of Cars has those too. How about a Civic to get around town in? House of Cars has what you're looking for. From high-end to affordable and everything in between. When you're looking for quality, pre-owned vehicles, remember House of Cars is the dealership for everyone.
Have a look at cars for sale right now at houseofcars.com.
Take back your free time with PC Express Online grocery delivery and pickup. Get in-store promos, PC Optimum points, and more free time. And still get groceries. Shop now at pcexpress.ca.
Home Network is here.
We are so lucky to be a part of this.
Every Thursday, watch heartwarming programs like an all-new Extreme Makeover Home Edition at 8.
We have 96 hours to build a house.
And Honest Renovations, starring Jessica Alba and Lizzie Mathis at 9.
Changing these homes, we can change families.
There's no place like it. Home Network. Stream on Stack TV.
Brought to you by Tangerine, official launch partner of Home Network.
107.3 The Edge.
The ongoing history of alternative rock with Alan Cross.
See what I mean about the roots of what we now call alt-rock or modern rock or alternative music go back further than most people realize? And we're not even out of the 1960s yet. On Chapter 2 of The Complete History of Alt-Rock, we'll find out how the Apollo space program saved David Bowie, thereby setting him up to be one of the most important artists of the 1970s. We'll spend some time in New York trying to figure out how Bowie, Iggy Pop, and the Velvet Underground all colluded in a very important way. And there are the guys from Queens who dressed in spandex and wore makeup like girls. Very important. That's coming next time on The Complete History of Alt-Rock. If you want more like this, there are hundreds of ongoing History of New Music podcasts available for free. All the platforms have them. Make sure you follow and like the feed so you never miss an episode. Plus, if you can rate and review, that would be great. We can meet up on all the social media channels. There's my website, ajournalofmusicalthings.com. It's updated every day. Plus, there's the free daily newsletter that goes with it. And I have another podcast. It looks at the intersection of music and true crime. Look for Uncharted Crime and Mayhem in the Music Industry, wherever you get your podcasts. And I welcome any emails, too. Drop me a line at alan@alancross.ca. Technical productions by Rob Johnston. We'll talk to you next time. I'm Alan Cross.
The ongoing history of alternative rock.
Sundays at 10 a and 10 p on 107.3 The Edge.
Calgary's iconic alternative. It's iconic.
107.3 The Edge.
Calgary's iconic alternative.
Sophisticated, refusing to be celebrated. It's a monumental big screen kiss. It's so deep, it's meaningless. One day I'll just up and quit, and that'll be it. Just then the stripper stopped in a coffin fit. She said, sorry, I can't go on with this. Awful close, but that's not why. I'm so hard done by. It was true cinema eclipse. You should see it before there's nothing left. In an epic too small to be tragic, you'll have to wait a minute. Cause it's an Instamatic. Yeah, that's awful close, but that's not why. I'm so hard done by.
the end, she carried on. Candy's not feeling well. Oh, that's not why. I'm so hard done by.
Hi, this is Robert Smith of The Cure.
Hi, this is Anthony Kiedis of the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Calgary's iconic alternative.
107.3 The Edge.
Thank you.
is looking at me. Nothing to gain. Hollow and alone. And the fault is my own. And the fault is my own.
I wanna heal. I wanna feel. What I thought was never real. I wanna let go of the pain I felt so long.
Erase all the pain till it's gone.
I wanna heal. I wanna feel. Like I'm close to something real. I wanna find something. I wanted all along. Somewhere I belong. I will never know myself until I do this on my own. And I will never feel anything else until my wounds are healed. I will never be anything till I break away from me. I will break away. I'll find myself today. I wanna heal. I wanna feel what I thought was never real. I wanna let go of the pain I felt so long.
Erase all the pain till it's gone.
Three, The Edge.
From the Retro Bin.
1984.
We'll be right back.
107.3 The Edge.
Calgary's iconic alternative.